It has been said that truth is stranger than fiction. And I came across some rather odd statements of fact where that proves to be true. For example, I don't know if you know about this, but in certain parts of the country, animals eat moss. Now, they don't eat it, and this is primarily up north. They don't eat it because it tastes good. Because really, it's hard to digest, and it tastes bad, and has little nutritional value. But reindeer fill up way up north, this is up in the Arctic, they fill up with moss because for them, it contains a special chemical which helps keep them warm in the icy Arctic temperatures. So moss, for the reindeer, acts like antifreeze for the car. Interesting, strange truth there. How about a lightning bolt? A lightning bolt generates, are you ready for this? Temperatures 5 times hotter than the sun. Whew, that's why you don't want to get struck by lightning, I guess. 1 cup of neutron star, okay? This is a certain type of star that's out there in the universe. So if you had 1 cup of it, you know what a cup is. 1 cup of neutron star weighs, are you ready for this? 480 million tons. 1 cup of neutron star. We're all doing our taxes this time of year. You might be interested to know that if you lived in Virginia 300 years ago, you could have paid your taxes with tobacco. Fill out your taxes and send in a bushel of tobacco, I guess. My wife is scared of spiders, so here's one I got just for her. You are more likely to be killed by a champagne cork than by a spider. So, Wendy, that's good for you. And here's one I found just for me. Those of you who know me, I have way too many books. 1,000 years ago, the Grand Vizier of Persia had to make a long journey, but he was an avid reader and didn't want to leave his library behind. And so he had his 117,000 books loaded onto camels, and then had the camels trained to stay in alphabetical order. So they could follow him around, and any time he wanted, he could find the book that he wanted to read. Yes, strange but true facts showing that sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Now, the thing is, when most of us think of truth and fiction, you know, we want things that are a little more down to earth, right? Things that are in our lives. We want to know when our kids are telling the truth or not. We want to know when we're being lied to at work. We want to, when we watch the news, we want to know whether the politicians are telling the truth, whether the newspaper is creating up facts and lies and stories. Among our friends or people we know, we want to know if they're spreading gossip about us or not. We want to know the truth about God and what He is like. What happens after death, what God's requirements are for our life, and how to get to heaven, and these sorts of things. Now, the thing is, the way things are today, it's very difficult to know who can be trusted, what can be trusted, whether we can trust the leaders of our country and the leaders at work, and it's very difficult at times to distinguish between truth and fiction. Now, part of this is due to the devil and his work. And a couple of weeks ago, when we looked at Ephesians 6:11, and then last time when we looked at Ephesians 6:12, we talked a little bit about the wiles of the devil and how basically everything he is doing is trying to undermine the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. And he's just going about spreading lies and deception. He's deceiving people into thinking that what is false is actually true. Satan, you know, is referred to in Scripture as the father of lies. That's all he does, is deceive and lie and tell false truths, half-truths. He is behind all deception in one way or another. And so it's with good reason that the first item on the spiritual warfare is this belt of truth that Paul talks about here in Ephesians 6, verse 14. The very first piece of armor, the very first thing God has given to you and to I in this spiritual battle is this belt of truth to help us break through all the dark lies of Satan and his deceptive twisting of the truth. And so let's just see here, Ephesians 6, 14. Paul writes, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." And that's all we're going to look at today. Specifically, the part about girding your waist with truth, or having about your waist the belt of truth. Now, what we're going to do is we look through each of these pieces of spiritual armor, and we're going to take one at a time. So today, just the belt of truth. What we're going to do is look at three things. First, what the piece of armor was like and what it did for the soldier in Paul's day. So I have some pictures. I have some actual pieces of armor they've dug up and they found, and we'll look at those, and I'll talk about what that piece of armor did for the soldier in Paul's day, at that time, the Roman soldier. And then what we'll do is we'll look at how that piece of armor applies to us as Christians. Well, you know, if this is what it did for the Roman soldier, what does it do for us as the Christian soldier? Right? And then third and finally, with every piece of armor, we'll say, okay, since this is what it does for the Christian soldier, for you and for I in spiritual warfare, how do we put it on? How do we wear it? How do you know that you have the belt of truth on? I mean, this is not the belt of truth. This is just a brown belt I'm wearing on my pants. Right? So, you know, do I have the belt of truth on? Do you have the belt of truth on? We're going to talk about that. How to know that you have the belt of truth on and how to put it on. So, the very first thing we want to do is talk about what the belt looked like for soldiers and what it did for them. Now, you and I know what a belt is. I mean, you know, it sometimes today it's just for looks, other times it holds your pants up or whatever, but here I have a few pictures on the screen, and this is of some Roman soldiers. It's a drawing, obviously, and you see there at the bottom it's Caesar's army, but you can see they have this belt around their waist. And I'll talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but it does a lot of things for the Roman soldier. And this second picture here, let me show you what the belt actually looked like. You can see this picture on the left. Let's see, I think I even have a laser. Look at this. Here's the scabbard for their sword, and we'll be talking about that. Remember, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's in there. And then this is this part over here, which hangs down in front of them. And then over here you can see these little things. These are kind of like belt. What are these things called? Hoops? Loops? Loops. Okay. I guess that's what these are. They would hold the belt in place, and then probably they could hook these around their belt and then hang things from them. Whatever. Like back on this next picture, you can kind of see he's got something hung over here. He's got his sword there. Here's his sword. And so I guess they could hook these into the other pieces of their armor, and then it would allow them to hang things from their belt and that sort of thing. I suppose it's very similar to a policeman today. You know, for a policeman, their belt is kind of their life, isn't it? If a policeman is without his belt, I mean, it's got his gun, it's got, I don't know what else, the billy stick, it's got the handcuffs, it's got their radio. You know, sometimes I look at these policemen walk around, and they're just covered, you know, front and back with all these things hanging from their belt. And I wonder how they sit in their car. It got to be super uncomfortable to sit down with all of that stuff hanging on their belt. But that's the same way it was for the Roman soldier. They had this belt, and they would hang stuff on it, and it would, you know, it is their life. And that's why, you know, you kind of think the first piece of this armor here is this belt. And if you were going to talk, let's say you were going to write down the spiritual armor for the Christian, I doubt any one of us would have put the belt down. I mean, when you think of the spiritual armor, what do you think about? You think about the breastplate. You think about the helmet. You know, you might think about the shield. You'll think about the sword. Any one of you would have put down the belt? I mean, a belt. How important is a belt? But Paul, he puts it not only in his list, but number one on his list. Very first item on Paul's list of spiritual armor is the belt. And that's because, as I've been saying, it was so important for the Roman soldier, and Paul recognized that, and so he put it right at the top of his list. And there's another reason why I haven't mentioned this yet, but you can see here on these soldiers, they're wearing these tunics underneath, these kind of robes of a sort. And so the belt, among other things, would also kind of keep their clothes in place. And that's what it does for us today also. It helps keep our clothes in place and our clothes on. And this was especially important for the Roman soldier when he's in battle. You don't want your cloak flying all over the place, getting tangled in your sword. I mean, you're getting attacked and you're trying to pull your sword out, but it can't because it's stuck on your tunic or stuck on your breastplate or your chain mail or whatever it is they have there. And so the belt, not only did it allow you to have a place to hang, you know, your sword and some of your other items, but it also, it kept your tunic from getting loose and from getting caught in your sword, getting caught in the other things that are part of your armor. Not only that, from what I read, it is what kind of tied the whole armor together. It attached to the breastplate, which we're going to be talking about in a little bit, to keep the breastplate tight against you and protecting your chest area, and it attached to some other pieces of the armor there as well. And so, you know, we don't think much about the importance of a belt, but for Paul, he recognized the importance of the Roman military and the importance of the belt and how vital it was for the entire piece of armor, for the entire suit of armor or whatever you want to call it. And so that's why he talks about it first. If a soldier got rid of his belt, everything would just disintegrate. Everything would fall apart. His tunic would trip him up. His sword would drop to the ground. In short, he wouldn't be too much good in battle. And so the belt for the Roman soldier was key. It was vital. It was important. And it's the same way for a policeman today. Go out and ask the policeman down the street how good he would do without his belt. I mean, where would he put his gun? He'd probably have to carry it in his pocket. You know, then he wouldn't have his handcuffs. He wouldn't have his radio. So, you know, this is a side note. This just kind of popped into my mind. When I was in Chicago at school, I had a good friend there. I was at Moody Bible Institute, and they live right near a rather bad part of Chicago. And so they have security guards on campus there. And a good friend of mine was a security guard. And it turns out one day as he was walking around kind of doing his rounds around the campus, they got a report that someone had broken into a campus car and stolen a stereo out of the car and was running away with it. So he and his partner, they got in their car and they drove over and they saw this guy running and they hopped out of their car and they started running after him because he kind of went down an alley. And it turns out this is one of those guys who this guy who stole the stereo. This is one of those guys who like to wear his pants real low. Have you seen those guys? You know, they're wearing their pants down here, and they wear these long shirts to kind of, and then their underwear is kind of hanging out, you know. But how do they do that? Well, they don't wear belts. So this guy's running. You know, sometimes they got to keep hiking up their pants because their waist is made to hold up a pants, but if your pants are down here, it's kind of hard to keep them up. Thing is he's running, and he's carrying a stereo. Right? So you know what's going to happen here. He's running away from these security guards. His pants are falling down, so sometimes he's trying to pull them up because he's not wearing a belt and his pants are low. And you know what happens. He trips, he falls. The stereo goes flying and, you know, he gets caught. Look what happens when you don't wear your belt. Belts are important even for us today, and it was vitally important for policemen today. It's vitally important for the Roman soldier. Hey, you know what? Carpenters, what do they have? Tool belts. It's like a portable toolbox for a carpenter. That's the way it was for Roman soldiers. They couldn't do their job unless they had their belt. Carpenters, policemen, very similar. You can't do your job unless you have your belt. That's the way it is for the Christian as well. Paul puts it number one on his list. So what is the belt for the Christian? What is the belt for you and for I? The belt, and Paul tells us right there in verse 14, he says, having girded your waist with truth. The belt for the Christian is truth. It is truth. We've talked about what the belt is for the Roman soldier. Now we're talking about what the belt is for the Christian. It's not some piece of leather you put around your waist when you get up in the morning. No, the belt for the Christian is truth. Paul says the belt is true. Now, and because it's first on the list, this means that the belt of truth is vital for you and for I in spiritual warfare. If we are going to stand, remember how Paul's repeated phrase in these opening verses, I think it's four times, we're supposed to stand in spiritual warfare, stand therefore, stand strong. If we're going to stand in spiritual warfare, we must know the truth and live according to the truth. And only in this way will the rest of our armor stay on. Only in this way will we be effective in this battle. The belt of truth is going to keep our breastplate of righteousness tight. It's going to keep our tunic out of the way from getting caught in the rest of our armor, from slowing us down, from tripping us up. It's going to provide us a place to hang our sword when we get to that. So without truth, we will easily be tripped up by Satan's lies. And the lies of Satan, no matter how small, are the things that destroy our lives, that destroy our relationships. Remember what happened way back in the Garden of Eden, the very beginning. One little lie from Satan caused the destruction of the future of all mankind. And Adam and Eve believed the lies there, and they ate of the forbidden fruit, and we're still reeling from the consequences today. As Christians, we cannot afford to have areas of deception and lies and deceit in our lives. You cannot afford to have a broken belt, a belt with weaknesses, a belt that's ready to break. Truth, like a belt, to be effective, must be able to completely surround you, front, back. I mean, it's got to come all the way around. It's got to buckle on tight. It's got to be able to hold on to the things you hang on to it and hold all of your armor together. So, that's what the belt is for the believer. It's truth. And we're going to see as we get through this. I mean, if you don't know how to be righteous, the breastplate of righteousness, if you don't know what righteousness is and how to be righteous, if you don't know the truth about righteousness, then you won't be able to put your breastplate of righteousness on. And that goes all the way down the line here for every single piece of armor. If you don't know what God says about these other pieces of armor and what the truth is about them and how to put them on, then you're going to be out there in spiritual warfare without your armor on, and you're going to be under attack, and you're going to be wounded, and you're going to be put out of the battle. So it's so important that we put on the belt. So that's what it is. It's truth. So we've seen what it is for the Roman soldier. It's this belt that holds everything together. We've seen what it is for the Christian. It's truth. Truth. That's it. Now, how do you put it on? How do you put on truth? Well, I think you know it's pretty simple and straightforward, but let me just give you a little bit of background information. First of all, you need to recognize that this piece of armor, just like all the pieces of armor as we're going to see, guess where it comes from? It comes from God. We read in Isaiah 11:5 that righteousness will be the belt of God's loins and faithfulness the belt of His waist. Paul, undoubtedly, when he's writing this and he's looking at these Roman soldiers, he's thinking, oh, we have a belt too. And it's God's belt. It's His belt, which He's given to us. And so, first of all, this isn't our belt. It's not something we come up with. It's God's belt, and He's given it to us to wear. The truth that we are to surround ourselves then comes from where? Not from us. Not from some other person. This truth, this belt of truth, comes from God, and therefore it is God's truth. And where is this truth found? In the Bible. In the Bible. So many people today, so many Christians today, are going to other sources for truth. They go to the, you know, books on psychology, and you know, there is good things out there in science and psychology, so I'm not coming down on any of those things, but if we don't go first and foremost to the Word of God for truth, then some of these other things that are out there will deceive us and trip us up, and we will be lured in by their lies. Jesus says in John 17:17, He's praying to God, and He says, sanctify them, that's His disciples, by the truth. And then what does He say? Your word is truth. We read in Psalm 119, 160 that God's word is truth. Paul himself, writing in Colossians 1:15, calls the Bible, and specifically the gospel message, the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told that as Christians, we should correctly handle the Bible as the word of truth. So here's what it all boils down to. If we want to put on the belt of truth, then we need to surround ourselves, dig into, dive into the Bible. In Proverbs 6:21 to 23, we are told by the wisest man who ever lived, this is Solomon, and if he's the wisest man who ever lived, that means we should listen to him when he talks, right? What does he say? The good life comes from taking the truth of the Bible and binding it on our heart, tying it around our neck, thinking about it when we walk to and fro, when we sleep, and when we wake up. He understood the belt of truth. He said, I'm wise, and I know why I'm wise. It's because the Word of God is constantly on my mind. I read it, I study it, I memorize it, I think about it. When I get up, when I lie down, when I go about my day, I'm thinking about God's Word. We put on the belt of truth by putting on the Word of God. And that doesn't mean carrying your Bible around. You know, always having a Bible in your pocket. No, it's more than that. It means reading it, studying it. I don't know how many of you have a daily Bible reading or Bible study plan, but I highly recommend it. And it's a discipline that is very difficult because Satan knows how important the Word is. It's a discipline that is very difficult to maintain in your life. But I don't know where you're at right now. If you're not studying the Word of God right now, try and study 5 minutes a day. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have these huge Bible reading plans and they spend an hour or 2 hours in the Word of God every day and they say, that's what you need to do. Well, you know, they probably didn't start that way. If you aren't reading the Word, try 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day, whatever you can do while you're eating your breakfast in the morning or before you go to bed tonight. Whenever it works best for you, some is better than nothing. And then after a couple years of doing that, you will find that you'll want more and more. You'll develop a hunger for the Word of God, and you'll be able to read more and study more and understand more. There's other ways, though, you can get the Bible into your life. One way is what you're doing right now. You're here in church listening to a message from the Word of God. This is a way you can get the Bible into your life. And there's not just Sunday morning sermons. There's many radio stations out there where you can tune in and you can listen to great biblical sermons on the radio, online as well, though, if you have internet access. There's so many ministries out there where you can download and listen to sermons online. You can attend a Bible study, memorize passages from Scripture. There's so many ways to put on the belt of truth, to wrap yourself around with the Word of God, getting it close by, understanding what it says, knowing what it teaches. Then and only then will you be able to put on the belt of truth. We see this in practice by Jesus when he is tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days. Do you remember what Jesus did? There were three temptations, and every single time, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't say, oh, that's a really good point, Satan, I'm going to have to go pray about it. Or, oh, I know there was a verse somewhere that said something about that. Or, you know, when I was growing up, I remember my pastor saying something about that. He didn't have pastors back then, but, you know, rabbis, something similar. What did Jesus do? He had the Word of God in him and with him. He knew it. He had been studying it. He was just able to say, no, Satan, you're wrong, because here's what the Bible says. Here's what Scripture says. And by the way, his three quotations come from the book of Deuteronomy, a book most of us, we try and read and we think, whoa, I can't even read this. It's just, what is going on here? But that's what he's quoting from. He knew backward and forward even the difficult parts of Scripture. Putting on the belt is putting on the Word of God, wrapping it around us, cinching it tight, getting it close, tying things down, getting our life under control so nothing is flapping loose. The reason, I'm convinced, the reason many Christians today are ineffective in their Christian life and in spiritual warfare is because they have not committed themselves fully to the Word of God, which alone is sufficient to prepare us for every situation in life. As we put on the belt of truth as found in the Word of God, as we buckle the Bible belt around us, only then will we stand secure in the promises of God that He contains in Scripture. The devil has set his traps, and it's the ignorant people, the people who don't know the Word of God, who come and take his bait and are lured in and pulled into his nets. Paul has told us how to put on truth and where we can go to find the truth, and that is the Word of God. It comes down to this. Either the Bible is your foundation or you have no foundation. You either take all your authority from the Bible or you have no authority at all. So do you know how to stand in Scripture? The very first thing, the foundational element, is the belt of truth, which is the Word of God. It is the only answer to defeating Satan and his deception. So again, buckle the Bible belt around you so you can stand secure in the promises of God and the truths it contains. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. Thank you so much for this instruction from Paul. Because, Father, it tells us that in this world, in spiritual warfare, when Satan is trying to deceive us and lie to us, Father, we don't have to give in to his deceptions and we don't have to listen to his lies. But, Father, the only way we can discern truth from error is by knowing the truth as it is found in Scripture, as it is found in your Word. And, Father, so I pray for all of us, myself included, Father, that we would be able to take the discipline and the time to know your Word, because your Word is truth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.